Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We had freezing temperatures this morning. We'll see that again tomorrow morning. I'll show you when our temperatures finally break this pattern. Plus, happening right now, the Dow is tanking nearly 600 points on the heels of more worries in the financial sector. What's triggering this latest dive?
Also, a Fort Bragg soldier joins the growing list of people arrested for causing a disturbance on an airplane or in an airport. We're live with what we've learned about this latest incident.
We have another cool afternoon on the way after freezing temperatures this morning. Another freeze warning is in effect for tonight. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Ken Smith, and for Jeff Hogan, so appreciate you joining us. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WR Severe Weather Center to show us how cold it will get and when temperatures will start to warm up again, Elizabeth.
You know, it just looks so pretty outside right now, though, doesn't it? This is our backyard. I mean, gorgeous blue sky. It is 45 degrees, though, so it is a chilly noon hour. We have wind that's coming out of the northwest at 13, and we're gusting 20 to 25. So once again, we have a wind chill that we're dealing with. We had that this morning. It felt like the mid-20s. Now it feels like 30s and 40s, 39 in Durham and Raleigh, 35 in Roxborough, 40 in Rocky Mount, 41 in Goldsboro. The wind chill is on the right in the white box, and the temperature is in the blue box on the left. So it's still pretty chilly out there with temperatures mostly in the mid-40s here at lunchtime. This is how far we'll end up dropping this tonight. Looking at 29 in Clarksville, 28 in Rocky Mount, 30 in Durham and Raleigh, 29 in Goldsboro. We head to the south, 26 in Robbins, 27 in Sanford, 31 in Fayetteville, 30 degrees in Clinton. So this will be the third night in a row that our temperatures drop down to freezing. We tend to see the coldest temperature in during the day or our overnight or morning low at around 7 a.m. So at 7 a.m. tomorrow, we're likely to see these freezing temperatures again with a little bit of a wind chill. After that, we get into tomorrow afternoon, we start to see a nice warm up, but it'll only last a few days. I'll show you how warm it gets, but why it'll be so short-lived coming up. Elizabeth, thanks. Breaking news right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is hemorrhaging. Take a look at this, down 575 points. There's a lot of pressure on the financial sector. And today, shares of Credit Suisse, a Swiss bank that has large U.S. and global operations, tumbling nearly 25%. You can see the result there. The NASDAQ is also down about 100 points, and S&P 500 in red territory, down 60 points.
And Renee, a major report came out at 8:30 this morning, another inflation indicator, the PPI index. It fell 0.1% last month. That was below the estimate for a 0.3% increase. This was highly unexpected because yesterday's consumer price index indicated that inflation is still rising, but it's down year over year. The Fed will meet next week to decide whether or not to increase interest rates.
A Fort Bragg soldier is accused of chasing people inside a terminal at Raleigh-Durham International after being removed from a flight for being disruptive. WRAL's Monica Casey joins us live from the airport right now. And Monica, you got your hands on that paperwork. What did you learn about what happened and how this all unfolded?
Okay, and according to the arrest warrants, this passenger was charged with disorderly conduct here at the terminal at RDU. The paperwork says he was arrested after being kicked off a flight last night. Luis Angel Rosas was arrested by the RDU Airport Authority for that misdemeanor charge. According to court papers, the soldier was removed from his JetBlue flight because he was drunk and refused to wear his seatbelt. The arrest warrant says while the employees at the ticket counter were trying to get him on another flight, he wasn't cooperating. He was using foul language, and the paperwork says he was chasing people around the terminal. That's when RDU police were called. I have reached out to RDU for comment on this arrest. They tell me they are working on my request. I also reached out to JetBlue to ask questions about what happened. They have not responded yet. Now, Rosas was released on a written promise to appear, and he is set to be back in court in late April. Ken?
Monica Casey live this afternoon at RDU International. Sticking with aviation, the FAA is holding a rare air safety summit to figure out what's behind all those close calls at the nation's airports. There have been seven close calls on U.S. runways this year alone, including one at Reagan National in D.C. The pilot of the Republic flight had been cleared to cross a different runway but turned on the wrong taxiway. We'll hear more about today's effort to keep air passengers safe in our next half hour.
In the last 30 minutes, Governor Roy Cooper released his state budget proposal. It includes a significant raise for teachers. Cooper said the state's rapid growth and $3 billion plus budget surplus is a once-in-a-generation opportunity for investment. He's proposing to increase the state budget by 18% over the next 2 years, focused mainly on education. The governor's budget also has 18% raises for teachers and principals over the next 2 years, as well as retention bonuses of up to $1,500. The governor says that's necessary to address the 5,000 teacher vacancies currently in our schools and to bring teacher pay above the national average. All other school employees would get an average raise of over 9%. Other state employees would get an average raise of 8% over 2 years. Cooper is also proposing big investments in school nurses, counselors, social workers, and an additional $1 billion for school construction and renovation.
Proposes $1.5 billion more for early childhood education and child care to benefit our youngest children who need to learn, their parents who need to work, and our businesses which need to hire them.
The governor's budget is much bigger than what lawmakers have already agreed they're willing to spend. It's not likely to get a lot of traction in the Republican-dominated legislature. But Cooper says he's been talking with lawmakers about the need for teacher pay raises and more money for child care. He is hopeful they'll find some common ground. Ahead of today's budget reveal, state mental health workers will be rallying for new safety rules and higher pay. According to a state legislature research team, as of last month, close to 3,700 positions are vacant. That's more than triple the vacancies in 2020. A national group has been reporting for months that some units have entirely closed. Others remain 50% to 60% understaffed. Workers say it is causing stress and leading to burnout. Today's rally is set for 1:15 in Butner.
New at noon, we're getting details about a new campaign to keep guns out of the hands of children. It's one of the topics that came up at the Task Force for Safety Schools meeting. WREL's Brian Trader monitored that meeting. He joins us now with some key takeaways. Brian.
Ken, you'll see that campaign starting soon all across North Carolina, encouraging adults to store their guns safely. The state is going to be working with police and schools to get that message out, including handing out gun locks. The Task Force for Safer Schools also got an update on how state officials are trying to protect students and teachers at school. We got a look at some of the training they are doing and a warning that this video does have the sound of recorded gunshots. And what you're seeing here is happening at an old school in Biscoe, which is about an hour and a half southwest of Raleigh. It's now a training center where law enforcement, school employees, and guidance counselors are training for different kinds of safety scenarios. The state is expanding this training to include bus drivers to be able to deal with these kinds of situations. The state also is hiring 8 school safety specialists to work all across the state with local officials, and they're hiring people to help with community and parent engagement. One of the big takeaways, Ken, was that school safety starts at home, and they want to make sure that families are part of the solution.
Some very good points there. Brian Schrader reporting. Brian, thanks.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, a recall to tell you about. Verizon has just come out and said that they are recalling 2.5 million mobile jetpack hotspots. It involves the Ellipsis jetpack mobile hotspot. They say 15 devices were reported overheating, including 6 reports of fire damage to surrounding areas where they are stored. This is exactly what it looks like. The devices were sold at Verizon stores as well as online. They also say a lot of schools use these hotspots. Verizon says they are working with customers to exchange this hotspot for a different one. You can go to their website for more information.
In just about 30 minutes, the state Supreme Court will revisit a case that could change the requirements for anyone who votes in person. The state's highest court struck down North Carolina's voter ID law just 3 months ago. WREL's Matt Tallhelm is live outside the court. Matt, why is this case coming back up so soon?
Well, Renee, it's the same reason we told you about yesterday when the Supreme Court here reheard a case about partisan gerrymandering of voting districts. It's because there is a shift in the political majority on this court here. Democrats made up the majority of the justices on the court in December when they ruled against that voter ID law, which required voters show a photo ID to cast a ballot in person. They ruled that Republicans in the legislature crafted that law to target black voters who are less likely to have the types of ID required to vote and tend to vote more for Democrats. Now, Republicans have a majority on the Supreme Court. Voting rights groups are protesting the court's decision to reopen this case and the redistricting case that we told you about yesterday. We also showed you that rally here on WRAL News at noon, and we heard from the attorney who will argue against the voter ID law here in court in the next 30 minutes.
The fundamental right to vote should not depend on your ability to jump through financial or administrative hoops to obtain certain types of IDs decided by the legislators. And finally, we will fight because the law enacted with the intent to discriminate on the basis of race cannot and will not stand under our democracy.
Republicans say the ID law protects elections from voter fraud, but a state audit of the 2016 presidential election only found one case of voter impersonation that this photo ID law is meant to prevent. Now, inside the courtroom here, each side will get 30 minutes to argue their case and take all these questions. We saw a lot of firing back from the justices along partisan lines yesterday during that hearing. We will be inside here. We'll also live stream it for you starting at 12:45 on WRAL.com, and I'll be in the courtroom and bring you updates starting on WRAL News at 4.
Matt Tallhelm, live in Raleigh. Thanks, Matt.
Lots more to share with you this noon hour, including hearing from a woman who told police she was held captive in a closet, how she escaped to tell her story of survival.
And after a series of close calls in the air and on tarmacs across the country, how an air safety summit is addressing aviation safety.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
A bill that would limit how North Carolina schools teach students about racial issues could get a vote in the State House this week. It was approved by the House Education Committee yesterday. The bill would ban schools from teaching about systemic racism or white privilege, or that anyone is responsible for the actions of past members of their race or gender. It's a response to conservative concerns about critical race theory, which is not taught in K-12 schools. Representative John Torbett filed the same bill 2 years ago, but Governor Cooper vetoed it.
The search is growing for the person wanted for shooting and killing a 15-year-old in Edgecombe County. We first reported this story yesterday on our new news. It happened Monday night on Tarboro Street around 11 p.m. The boy was found with gunshot wounds just feet from his home and died at the hospital. Rocky Mount police spent the morning stopping traffic nearby, asking people if they had information. This is the third child shot in the past 6 weeks. A woman in Tennessee is recovering after allegedly being held captive in a closet for 2 months. The woman managed to escape. She was found hiding beneath a home that was under construction after letting a local resident know she had been kidnapped. The woman had cuts on her face and weighed less than 100 pounds. She told police her boyfriend forced her into the closet and kept the door bolted shut and only would let her out for an hour each day.
No, like, bad stuff can happen anywhere, but it's like, this is Dyersburg. This is such a small town. And for someone to be being held captive for 2 months, you'd think that someone would, like, be like, hey, something's going on at this house or something like that.
What a horrific ordeal. The woman was treated at a hospital and released. The man is on the run.
About a quarter of U.S. adults suffer from a seasonal allergy. For kids, it's about one in five, but with less than a week until the start of spring on the calendar, health experts say this year's warmer winter that we experience in January and February could trigger a more severe allergy season. Gary Bumgarten takes a closer look.
If you're not a fan of snow, warmer winters could be a dream come true. But for some people suffering from serious allergies, medical professionals say a future of mild winters could wind up being a nightmare.
The way a warmer winter can impact seasonal allergies really comes down to, you know, will that give a chance for these trees to start blooming a little bit earlier? And that may start to bring out the pollination process a little sooner.
Data collected by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration finds temperatures across large portions of the country were unusually warm last month. Virginia, for instance, experienced its warmest February ever recorded. Georgia, Kentucky, Maryland, the Carolinas, and Pennsylvania were among other states to witness their second warmest Februaries in history. And with less than a week until the official first day of spring, the warmer weather is already causing pollen to become problematic in portions of the South and Eastern United States, like in Atlanta and Washington, D.C.
And that was Gary Bumgarten reporting. Now, health specialists recommend starting allergy medication regimens 2 to 4 weeks before allergy season goes into full swing. This should help prevent worsening symptoms. But, of course, we all know allergy season early this year, Renee.
That's right. And it's going to keep going. It doesn't mean that's going to end any earlier. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with a look at the pollen count.
We're going to start off here, of course, taking a look at the gardens where it's absolutely beautiful. We have so many pine trees. Just about a week or so ago, we had the whole parking lot covered with that yellow pine pollen, and we're starting to see the azaleas blooming. Generally, we're running anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks ahead in terms of where we are in terms of pollen and things starting to bloom and bud. So we started it very early. And if you remember, last week, the week before, we had so much of that yellow pine pollen. It's begun to ease up a little bit. Now, it's still recording as high, but it's on the low end of high. And before our temperatures started to cool back down again, we were looking at very high pollen counts. So we'll likely see this holding on the low end of high for the next few weeks until our temperatures begin to warm back up. As soon as we start to see temperatures in the upper 60s into the 70s on a regular basis, once that begins again, we'll start to see that pine pollen and the rest of the allergens begin to kick back up again. So it's sort of on pause right now, but we're not finished with it. It'd be nice if we were done with it, but it's just on hold with these cooler temperatures. Right now we're looking at bright skies here in downtown Wilson. You see the whirligigs still spinning around. We do have some gusty winds out there. It's currently 45 degrees. Our dew point is 17, so that just means it's very dry out. Our temperature will climb into the mid-50s this afternoon with all of this sunshine, and it does remain breezy for a bit. Once we get closer to sunset, we'll see our winds really dying down, but it's going to be on the breezy side for this afternoon. It's not likely that we'll end up with much of a wind chill tomorrow morning. Right now, we're looking at a feels like temperature of 39 in Durham and Raleigh, 41 in Fayetteville, 37 in Roxboro. So we definitely have a little bit of a wind chill right now as it just feels like 30s to low 40s. But when that wind dies down, things should ease up again because of the breezy conditions and the fact that it's dry. We have high fire danger this afternoon, but with less wind tomorrow, they may drop this high fire danger. But still, it would be safer to burn on Saturday after we see rain on Friday night. Of course, we have a freeze warning in effect for tonight into tomorrow morning. This will be the third one in a row. We continue to have our air coming out of the northwest, and you can see the colored arrows here in blue indicating that cold air that's coming down from Canada. Watch what happens. We're going to have a high pressure system that slips by us, and that high pressure system will help to switch the wind. Watch how that switches in the next 24 hours as that high passes by. That high rotates clockwise, and it starts to shift our wind to southwesterly. And you can see the color contours turn red. That's the start of our warm-up. We'll see that on Thursday into Friday. The front comes through late on Friday and starts to drop our temperatures again. But we begin the warm-up. Tomorrow morning, we'll be somewhere around 30 degrees with a freeze warning. But on Friday and Saturday morning, our temperatures are well above freezing. We'll go from 54 today to 67 Thursday and 72 degrees on Friday. But I did mention front, right? We have a front that'll come through late Friday into early Saturday. Behind that front, our temperatures drop again into the 50s for highs. And on Monday morning, we're back down to 28. Likely we'll see another freeze warning. But of course, we're watching the precipitation on Friday. It's beginning to speed up a little bit. I'll show you how that could affect your St. Patrick's Day Friday plans coming up in just a few minutes.
Elizabeth, thanks. The jazz band at NC Central gets first place in New York. Ahead at 4, a local HBCU scoring big at the nationwide competition and the school celebration.
Also, Kiana Joe's back home in Harnett County. Tonight at 6, we catch up with the 17-year-old after she survived a cardiac arrest. But our new news continues now. Some disappointing results from the latest round of backseat safety tests in mid-size SUVs. Why one government says some manufacturers have a long way to go.
Also, a New York bakery has a special recipe for success for its employees. How the business is providing new opportunities for young adults with special needs.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, this just in, Texas officials have announced a state takeover of Houston's nearly 200,000 student public school district. This is one of the largest school takeovers ever in the U.S., and Democrats have argued that this is political. A lot of parents have taken to protest this. Other big cities have gone through state takeovers in recent years. It's really viewed as a last-ditch effort for underperforming schools. Texas began making moves back in 2019 following allegations of misconduct. The district did sue to block a takeover, but new education laws cleared the way for the state to take over.
Alzheimer's advocates from across the state are in Raleigh today to support the fight against that disease. They're gathering at the North Carolina Museum of History. They're pushing lawmakers to make changes to state policy to better address the cost of Alzheimer's treatment. The event is happening already now, started this morning around 9 o'clock and continues until about 2:30 this afternoon. Alzheimer's disease poses a growing concern in the U.S. Medical experts say the number of Alzheimer's patients will double by 2050, meaning 13 million people could be afflicted. Health officials say some treatments look promising, but many elderly people are still reluctant. People with memory issues should promptly talk with their medical provider.
Some popular mid-size SUVs do not do a good job protecting people in the back seat. Of the 13 mid-size SUV models examined by the Institute for Highway Safety, six received poor ratings for protecting passengers in the back seat. They are the Hyundai Palisade, Honda Pilot, Jeep Grand Cherokee, Mazda CX-9, Jeep Wrangler 4-door, and the Nissan Murano. The agency says the risk of a deadly injury for passengers in the back seat is 46% higher compared to those who sit in the front seat. If you're having trouble with your taxes, OpenAI may be able to help. The creators of ChatGPT announced its new model called GPT-4. The company says this new AI can solve harder problems with greater accuracy, including being able to reason. So it may even be able to do taxes. So if you want to try the new software, you have to subscribe to ChatGPT Plus for $20 a month.
An iconic pair of Air Jordan sneakers will hit the auction block next month. Sotheby's is listing Michael Jordan's 1998 NBA Finals Nike Air Jordan 13s, worn during the basketball legend's final season in the NBA. The Bulls went on to win their sixth title of the decade. The shoes are expected to sell for between $2 million and $4 million. Jordan already holds the record for most expensive pair of sneakers sold at auction. Time now, 12:25, seven airport scares in less than 3 months. How the FAA is trying to get to the bottom of the problem.
Plus, tell your friends not to get caught up in a traffic nightmare coming to Dreamville. Coming up, how the state DOT is taking one worry off the minds of music fans who want to get to that festival.
And as we head to a break, your winning lottery numbers on your screen.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
This morning, the FAA held a rare air safety summit after a string of troubling incidents, both in the sky and on the ground. You're looking live at RDU International Airport. This comes as we're learning of another close call, a near collision on a runway near Washington. NBC national correspondent Gabe Gutierrez reports.
From severe turbulence to a plane dropping to within 800 feet of the Pacific Ocean to more than half a dozen near collisions on runways this year, the aviation industry, facing mounting scrutiny, is hitting the pause button. The acting FAA administrator is holding an impromptu air safety summit this morning, telling Lester Holt in an exclusive interview.
That gives us a moment to say, let's stop, let's reflect, let's ask ourselves the question, are we missing anything?
The summit comes as NBC News learns of yet another unsettling incident last week here at Reagan National. The FAA confirming a regional jet pilot rolled in front of a departing United Airbus jet right before takeoff.
Oh, United 2003, scan the takeoff clearance.
Boarding takeoff, United 2003.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is calling the close calls deeply troubling, and the chair of the NTSB tells me so-called runway incursions have increased over the past 5 years.
Is the airline industry overstressed right now?
That's something we have to look at. And then what's going to happen in the future when we have even more of a congested airspace?
Attending today's summit, representatives from airlines, airports, and unions. At the top of the agenda, identifying what risk factors could be to blame.
It's usually a complicated, diverse set of factors like crew training or air traffic control communication or the lack of runway technology.
Industry experts say flying is still extremely safe. But as Miracle in the Hudson pilot Captain Sully Sullenberger recently told Savannah, air travel should never be taken for granted.
Do you think there is a sense of complacency that sets in when air travel has been, thankfully, so safe?
Yes, we become the victims of our own success.
And that was Gabe Gutierrez reporting. TSA is recruiting agents to work at RDU International ahead of a busy spring and summer travel season. RDU has openings for both full and part-time positions with a starting salary of a little more than $38,000 for people hired before July 2023. Now, the pay could jump to $59,000 per year once an officer has completed 2 years of service. Now, anyone interested in the opportunity can learn more during the hiring event today at the Durham NC Works Career Center or apply online at usajobs.gov. And that's not the only expansion today. Avelo is adding three more nonstop routes to RDU International. The company is also adding more jobs and a second aircraft to its base at the airport. Avelo flights first started taking off from Raleigh in May of last year.
We're still waiting to learn the identity of the man shot and killed outside a Durham shopping center. Sky 5 flew over the scene on Hillsborough Road near Coal Mill Road near the cookout. Investigators were there for more than 9 hours. They finally cleared out around 2:30 this morning. Here's what we know. We're told the man was shot in that parking lot. At least two cars had windows shot out. This is the second shooting in that shopping center this week. We're working to learn more after a crash shut down a major road in Sampson County. This happened around 8 last night on NC 24 near Clinton, near Bass Lake Road. You can see that white SUV flipped onto its roof. No word yet on the cause of the crash or whether anyone was hurt.
Some middle school students in the Wake County Public School System will soon have access to after-school tutoring either at their school or at a community agency. Tutoring is a big part of the district's efforts to reverse learning loss that was caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Learning loss affected nearly every student in Wake County and beyond. Wake County's new effort will begin in April or May, but only for a small number of schools to start with. A district official said today they hope to expand the program, but the district's ability to do that will come down to whether schools or community agencies have the staff to expand. And at the Johnson County School Board meeting, a group of teachers speaking out against the State Board of Education's plan for a new licensure system. The proposed overhaul would tie a teacher's pay to performance rather than years of experience. It would allow teachers to get more advanced licenses through both reviews and student test scores.
Our state superintendent, Kathy Truitt, and the PEPSIC committee have cooked up a plan they are calling Pathways to Excellence, saying the teacher shortage is due to a licensure problem. I don't really see who this plan benefits except for the testing company. It is definitely not good for North Carolina, our teachers, or our students.
Currently, teachers are paid based on their experience. State leaders say the plan would help retain teachers and boost student success by giving teachers tougher evaluations.
The Attorney General's office is partnering with the Carolina Hurricanes for a drug take-back event. You can drop off unused leftover medication outside PNC Arena today. Raleigh Police and the SBI are manning the drop box. You can safely dispose of prescription meds until 1:30 today or go between 4:30 and 6:30. Tonight, we'll learn more about UNC Health's plans to expand its Easttown campus in Chapel Hill. UNC Health will give an update on the project's timeline during a work session of Chapel Hill Town Council. Right now, there is one building on the property at I-40 and 15501. The health system is looking to expand that to 6 buildings, with a new one going up every 3 to 5 years over a 25-year span. The council's work session starts tonight at 6:30.
Well, if you were lucky enough to snag Dreamville Festival tickets before they sold out, your next thought might be about, how will I get there? Well, you can avoid traffic by instead taking the train. April 1st and 2nd, NC by train tickets will be 25% off. Both the Carolinian and Piedmont trains are adding extra stops between Charlotte and Raleigh. Train passengers will be dropped off at Raleigh Union Station, where a Dreamville shuttle will then take festival goers the 2 miles to Dix Park.
Fruits and vegetables are good for the body, but not if they're contaminated. The top foods most likely to have pesticide on them and what you can do about it.
And what good thing born out of the pandemic? Appreciation for people who had to go into work so that everyone else could stay safe during COVID lockdowns. Our county by county coverage this noon takes us to Johnston and Granville counties. Johnston County Commissioners started their annual planning session this morning. Commissioners will spend the next 2 days setting goals and objectives to meet both the current and the future needs of the county. They have their work cut out for them. The 2020 census showed Johnston was the fastest growing county in the state in the last decade. The Viking Experience Festival coming to Granville County later this month. It features axe throwing, cosplay, sword fighting, and of course, fairies. The festival is March 25th and 26th. Get festival details at WREL.com.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, an alarming number of tundra swans are dying at a popular lake on our coast in eastern North Carolina. Some believe that lead poisoning might be what is causing all of this. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says it's not normal to see this many swans dying. They say a few dead or sick swans at this time of year is normal, but not the amount that they're seeing right now. They're still trying to determine if lead is actually causing these birds to die.
Michelle, thanks. Foods you think are healthy may actually be harmful if you don't wash them properly before eating. The 2023 Shopper's Guide revealed the most contaminated produce. Strawberries and spinach own the top 2 slots in the so-called Dirty Dozen. Kale came in 3rd. Blueberries and green bean samples also showed higher levels of pesticides than in previous years. Exposure to these contaminated foods pose a harmful risk, especially for pregnant women and children. Researchers suggest properly washing fruits and vegetables before eating. If you encounter medical workers, firefighters, or police officers, be sure to tell them thank you. That's because today is World Essential Workers Day. A 9-year-old girl started the day in 2021 when she saw people risking their health to help others during the COVID pandemic. Janae Ratcliffe says she wanted to honor first responders and people like her mother, who's a social worker. She convinced a local mayor to help her highlight workers serving these critical roles.
Well, as we take a break, ponder this question. How much would you be willing to pay for a 100-year-old home? It's not just any old house, the Hollywood tie that increased the value of this villa. Plus,
it really opened my eyes to see who I am.
Up next, we'll take you to a business that's baking up a difference for customers and employees. You too can live like royalty, but it'll cost you. If this home looks familiar, it's because it was used as the school in the Princess Diaries movie starring Anne Hathaway. It's now listed for almost $9 million. The 100-year-old home in San Francisco features 4 bedrooms, 3.5 baths. It even includes an elevator, a full-size roof deck, and a lower-level private garage. It looks gorgeous inside.
Do you think I can start saving for that? Probably not. Anyway, a bakery in New York is serving up a special recipe for its employees. Rising Above Bakery employs young adults with special needs. Kate Snow shows us how the bakery is opening the doors of possibility in the lives of young chefs in the making.
It's a busy day for the crew at Rising Above Bakery in Nyack, New York.
How many cookies do you want?
21-year-old Connor Carson likes being part of a team.
What do you bake now?
I'm baking breads, cookies, scones.
Got it.
All right, tell me when it's ready.
Founder Sherry Raveni Ulrich was an avid baker and speech therapist who noticed years ago when she baked cookies with her students with special needs, they lit up.
They found their voice in the kitchen. It was just beautiful.
So during COVID, she started a bakery in her own house.
This oven was in your dining room?
Yes.
For a long time?
Yes.
This January, they finally moved to a temporary storefront, employing young adults with developmental disabilities supported by volunteers.
What's the idea?
To give them a meaning, to wake up in the morning and say, I want to go to work. I want to be as important as anyone else.
I'm going to take the glaze that's already done here.
Luke Garrison showed me how to make a maple glaze.
I do make mistakes.
Everybody makes mistakes.
But I grow and learn from them.
It's just so much harder.
Lisa Carson is Connor's mom and serves on the bakery's board.
The minute he walked in the door, what he brought to the table was valued. They really saw him for who he was.
Rising Above Bakery won't have this space much longer. The nonprofit is raising money, hoping to secure a permanent storefront.
What do you like about working here, Connor?
Being seen, I think, is the most important thing.
Being seen?
Being seen. So that means, like, I think, having customers come in and see how we can work together.
Do you think this place has kind of changed your life?
I think it did, yes. It really opened my eyes to see who I am.
And that is the sweetest recipe of all. Kate Snow, NBC News, Nyack, New York.
Yeah, do a lot of work with Special Olympics, and that's the one thing you hear from our athletes is when they feel included in whatever's happening. And we so hope that Bakery finds a permanent space for those employees.
I mean, what a takeaway. Oh, being seen
absolutely.
For your abilities, not for your disabilities.
Yes.
And that reminds me of the 321 Coffee mm-hmm. franchise that we have,
yep.
where they also employ
yeah.
people with developmental disabilities over at the State Farmers yeah. Market and some locations in Raleigh and Durham, too.
Definitely support that. And I want to turn our attention now to the forecast, another chilly day.
Oh, but beautiful
yeah.
sunshine and blue sky. So at least we have that to take the sting off the chill, Elizabeth.
It would definitely be worse if it were cloudy and raining, that's for sure, like we saw on Sunday. So that sunshine still looks good. Throw on some extra layers and get outside and enjoy it. Or wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to be even warmer. We do have a freeze warning in effect again tonight and tomorrow morning. We tend to see the coldest temperature of the day at around 7 a.m. So we'll be seeing freezing temperatures. If you're walking out the door at 7 a.m., it's going to be the coldest part of the day. Our warm St. Patrick's Day, we climb into the 70s, but we will see increasing clouds, and we're going to see some rain late in the day. It may be closer to dinner time. We're going to walk through the timeline for that in just the next couple of minutes. That warmth will be short-lived. I showed you that. We're going to see that nice warm up that comes in starting tomorrow. But by Saturday, we start to see the winds shifting again to northwesterly. So we get a couple of days with a southerly flow to warm us up, and then we're right back to this late winter sort of pattern that we've been in. Goldsboro looking beautiful. Fayetteville also. You can see our newsroom here in Fayetteville. It's a beautiful day to be walking down Hay Street. It's pretty in Chapel Hill as well as Apex. We take a look at our chilly blast that continues. The low pressure system here is finished dumping snow on the northeast, but it continues to wrap the cool air around and push it into North Carolina, being helped by that high pressure system. But that high is going to move over us and stop the flow of that colder air just long enough to have a nice mild Thursday and Friday. But tomorrow morning is still going to end up being very chilly for us with that freeze warning. And I know farmers are going to be out for third morning in a row trying to protect all the tender vegetation, the strawberries, the fruit trees, and all of that. Thursday looking good, 67 degrees, mostly sunny skies. And then on Friday, we're looking at 72. We've got a 30% chance of rain on Friday. That's going to be late in the day. So enjoy while you can. We will see increasing clouds. We get into a small chance of rain around the evening commute. 72 at 4 o'clock, 68 at 6 o'clock. And then we'll hold it in the 60s even through 10 o'clock. So, you know, it's Friday. It's St. Patrick's Day. I think a lot of people will be potentially out and about, especially with the milder temperatures, but maybe have the umbrella somewhere handy by late evening as we start to see the rain rolling in. Here's 6 a.m. on Friday. That rain is back to the west, but by 5 o'clock, there's a small chance of maybe a light shower. That chance really increases closer to 10 or 11 o'clock, and we'll see that rain overnight being steady to heavy. It moves out fairly early. There's 6 a.m., and it starts to pull on out of there. It should be mostly out of the viewing area by mid-morning, and then we may see some breaks in the clouds during the afternoon on Saturday. Saturday's not going to be terribly cold. Looking at low 60s, it's much colder again on Sunday. How much rain overnight? Probably going to see somewhere between a half an inch, maybe a 3/4 of an inch, but it doesn't look like it's going to be anything that's terribly heavy. Of course, after that, we see 62 Saturday. Saturday afternoon is dry, and so is Sunday. We're looking at some showers on Tuesday. Don't forget, we're back to freezing temperatures to start the week on Monday morning.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Getting a dog always sounds like a great idea, but training can be hard and overwhelming. Coming up, we'll tell you where to start to set your pup up for success.
And headed to the break, take a look. You're winning Mega Millions numbers on the screen.
Our teacher of the week is fairly new to the profession, but her talent is already earning her big accolades. WRA's Ryan Schrader meets a Cumberland County educator who has a message for everyone about helping children succeed.
Tanya McGill's path to the classroom started as a cafeteria worker and school bus driver.
And it did not take me long to decide that, hey, Ms. McGill, you can do more or you need to do more.
McGill is now a teacher, leading fourth graders at Fayetteville's Morganton Road Elementary School.
It is a challenging job, but it is rewarding.
McGill has been teaching for just 2 years, but her talent already is showing. She's Cumberland County's 2023 Beginning Teacher of the Year and a finalist for the Empower NC Beginning Teacher of the Year. McGill says we all have a role to play in preparing future generations.
It takes everybody working together to be here for these kids. That means the parents or the guardians that are at home, the school piece, the teachers, the principal, the community. Everybody working together is what it takes to get our kids to where they need to be.
Tanya McGill is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Teamwork makes the dream work, right? You can look at all of our honored teachers and nominate a teacher you'd like us to recognize. Go to WRAL.com, enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
And as we wrap things up here, here's a look at a few headlines we're following today. A Fort Bragg soldier is accused of chasing people in a terminal at Rotterdam International after being removed from a flight for being disruptive. RDU Airport Authority arrested Luis Angel Rosas. According to court papers, the soldier was removed from his JetBlue flight because he was drunk and refused to wear his seatbelt.
Within the hour, Governor Roy Cooper released his state budget proposal, and it includes an 18% raise for teachers. Cooper said the state's rapid growth and $3 billion plus budget surplus is a once-in-a-generation opportunity for investment. We have a full breakdown of what is in this new budget proposal on WRAL.com in the NC Capital section.
Right now, the state Supreme Court is revisiting a case that could change the requirements for anyone who votes in person. The justices are rehearing arguments after the high court switched to a Republican majority. Each side has 30 minutes to argue their case in front of the seven Supreme Court justices. We have live streaming this event on WRAL.com.
Dog training can be overwhelming, but it is beneficial. If you're interested in training your dog and you don't know where to begin, here are some things to consider. Learn the breed of dog behavior to establish realistic expectations. Determine whether group classes or one-on-one training works best. Understand reinforcement methods like offering a treat when they do something good. And refer to professional associations to find a good trainer.
Well, even though our pet of the day is 5 years old, he's still a kitten at heart. Meet Vivaldi from Cat Angels Pet Adoptions. When you scratch his head, he falls down so you can get to his sides and belly as well. He enjoys being brushed for a minute or two, then back to being nosy. Vivaldi would love to go home with one of his five brothers or have a friend waiting for him when he gets home. Now, if you want to meet him, fill out an application at Cat Angels website.
Coming up on our 4 o'clock news, triumph after loss. The story of a local university winning a national music competition despite facing the tragic death of two of their leaders. How the underdogs ended up on top.
NBC News Daily is next right here on WRAL, your next local news in about 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Now go out and enjoy the sunshine. Have a coat on.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.